Hello and welcome to another episode of ESG Voices. This podcast series addresses the opportunities and challenges within ESG through interviews with ESG specialists from KPMG and beyond. Throughout this series, we will discuss a broad range of environmental, social, and governance issues, aiming to support governments, businesses, and communities in creating an equitable and prosperous future. In today's episode, we dive into the dynamic intersection of artificial intelligence and climate goals. Joining us today, we have Mike Hayes, Climate Change and Decarbonisation Leader, KPMG International, and Anish Day, Global Head of Energy, Natural Resources and Chemicals, KPMG International, who will discuss how leaders can harness AI to drive measurable progress toward net zero, balance innovation with responsibility, and align with long-term climate strategies. This is a topic with much to discuss, so let's jump right in. Mike, how can AI technologies be leveraged to accelerate corporate decarbonisation strategies?
I lead KPMG's global climate and decarbonisation business, and the rapid acceleration of AI-related solutions is, I believe, going to have a transformative impact on the climate and decarbonisation agenda. And I'm of the view that there should be no project that we should undertake with our clients that should not in some way incorporate some element of AI thinking. And to some extent, I think it's going to be one of the most important levers in trying to figure out solutions. I'm going to give you just one or two examples, if I could, try to bring this to light. But before I do that, I want to emphasize that when we talk about this particular topic about the benefits of AI for the climate agenda, it's normally framed in the context of emissions reductions, and that is very true, and I'll explain that in a bit more detail in a second, but it's not just about emissions reductions. AI is going to have a profound impact on some of the adjacent topics, adaptation and nature and biodiversity being two very good examples, where the ability to analyze, to extract information, to do things in a cleverer way is actually already starting to have a profound impact. And the other topic, before I come back to emissions, is this whole area of circularity. We're increasingly going to be looking at the way products are designed to reduce the carbon content of these products. Some of the big technology companies are focusing specifically on what this new area that we call material science and using AI to really change the way we think of our products are made to make them more carbon friendly and carbon efficient. Coming back to the emissions question, there's so many different examples. And if you think about AI fundamentally, what it really does, it helps with optimization and with efficiency. And these are things that are very relevant across the climate agenda. So some examples, energy efficiency, we are finding things that we used to manually can be done in many cleverer and better ways through the use of energy efficiency. The example I like to quote most, though, is when we look at the climate agenda, we look at scope 3 and transportation is one of the really, really big drivers of emissions. The role of AI in helping to optimize transport routes. One of the best examples we have is contrails, which come out of aircraft and a huge source of carbon emissions over and above the whole issue about the fuel. AI is helping to change the way in which flights are routed in such a way to make the contrails much, much less and therefore almost automatically having a positive impact for the aviation sector. There are lots of other examples across manufacturing, across agriculture, but the key point is we have to really think about AI as a key driver of a solution right across the climate agenda.
Anish, can I come to you next?
Yes, certainly. So, you know, Mike and I have been working closely on the whole decarbonization agenda. Mike in his own role, as he has described, and I as the energy, natural resources and chemicals leader for the firm. Now, in the last 18 months, I've actually been working a lot more on AI. AI is not new. It's been around for decades now, maybe since 1950s. But it's only in the last couple of decades picked up momentum with data becoming more available. And in the last 2 years with generative AI coming in and now agentic AI coming in, it's completely acquired a life of its own. So whatever you do, if you look through the AI lens, you see that there is some gain out of it. So it's a question of then how you organize everything to deliver the outcomes that we want. That becomes the important question. And decarbonization is one of the biggest areas because, you know, this is a, irrespective of the politics, this is really a challenge. You know, the climate change is a real challenge, so we need to decarbonize quickly. And what we are seeing in various areas, including the ones Mike has described around energy efficiency, logistics, general optimization every way, you know, AI has a big role to play. But what modern AI is doing is actually taking it a little further. It's actually empowering humans to ask the right questions, get the right answers very, very quickly. And as a consequence, their responsiveness to some of these challenges is becoming much more nuanced, much better, granular, and effective. And so I see that, you know, the application of AI is going to be universal in bringing around decarbonization at scale, be it large-scale industries, hard-to-abate sectors, where, you know, we have always looked at it but have found it incredibly hard to get to outcomes. AI is allowing for many of those things to happen. And the second thing is the responsiveness, which I talked about. You can do this quickly. You don't have to wait for years now with modern AI. You can get to outcomes very, very quickly. We can explore those as we go forward in the conversation.
Mike, what are the biggest challenges in aligning AI-driven initiatives with climate goals, and how can leaders address them?
The reason I guess we're having this podcast is because there is a lot of debate about the more on the negative impact of AI on the climate agenda. And that's because of the single biggest challenge, which is the energy demand for the data centers and the AI factories, which go with the AI revolution that's happening. And we've been aware of this issue for a long time, and particularly with the use of all sorts of digital applications. But really, it's in the last couple of years as AI has become mobilized and started to be used globally, not just by governments and big industry, but by consumers as well. And that is right, leading to exponential energy demand. So all of the previous forecasts, even if I go back to 18 months ago that we were making about energy demand up to 2030 and 2040 and beyond, we've had to revise all of those estimates. And the challenge, and we come back later, I think, in this discussion, talk about the impact that will have on the energy transition. But the challenge that governments and industry is facing around this is how to get the energy, whatever type of energy, first of all, to AI. And this is actually becoming a geopolitical issue because governments want to attract the AI companies, which by definition means they're attracting in the data centers that go with that. But the reality is that unless they can meet the energy demand of these data centers, they're going to lose out on the economic opportunity that goes with this. And that's why governments all over the world compete for what we call foreign direct investment. And this is really becoming a critical issue and a critical dimension to the AI. And that's why we are seeing data centers becoming concentrated in a number of locations around the world. I live in Ireland, and we've for many years been a big data center location, but we have constraints in the amounts of energy that we can provide. And that's why regions such as the Middle East, and particularly in Saudi Arabia, are now very much positioning themselves as a place to host data centers. And that's really what governments around the world are starting to think about in terms of meeting that energy demand. And that, leaving aside the emissions question, which we'll come back to. So I think that's the future discussion that's going to be around all of this. We talk a lot about energy, but the other topic that comes up in the context of AI as a challenge is water and access to water required for cooling purposes. And, you know, water has already been something that's been surfacing as a big issue on the what I would call the environmental agenda. And I would say, if anything, AI has helped to really focus a lot of attention on availability of water as a key issue. And that is actually turning people's minds to that particular problem as well. So there are two biggest challenges. I think the way leaders are dealing with it is really trying to position their own sort of locations, whether it's, if it's government, they're trying to sell their own locations as the place to host AI centers. Industry, clearly, it's a bigger challenge. And it's also giving rise to the concept of the off-grid solution for data centers, because national grid systems are struggling. And we are now seeing the emergence of what I would call the combined energy data center campuses, where the energy is produced and generated on-site to deliver to the data centers.
Thanks, Mike. Anish, would you add anything to what Mike has outlined?
The demand for AI comes because we as users want AI in our lives, right? We want it on our phones. We want it in our gaming consoles. We want it in our financial transactions. AI is everywhere. And that is why the energy demand comes. So it's not that the energy sector is contributing to the AI, to the challenge is that AI is so universal. As consumers, we are consuming a service, and hence there is a requirement of energy. How we can solve that is the question. And I think this is where AI is a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem on energy. Because the way you will develop the renewable energy resources, bringing the whole development cycle, making it much shorter, or bring about energy efficiency, including in the data centers, which can be 50% more efficient with the use of advanced AI in their cooling systems and how the chips are designed, how the chips consume energy. So all of them have AI application. So as one of our colleagues commented, that it's like a fish drinking water. If the fish is in a sea or a river, how much water the fish drinks is not material, but the rest of the water is a much larger body. So it's in some sense that energy consumption of AI is not the material question. We have to meet that. But what outcome it produces is actually quite phenomenal. And that's why we all as consumers want AI in our lives. And, the energy problem will get solved over a period of time, including through the use of AI.
And I would build on that, and maybe just to think about what Anisha just said about solving the energy problem. We shouldn't recognize that in 2025, we live in a world where energy security and independence has now assumed paramount importance for a mix of geopolitical and other economic reasons. And therefore, things that consume greater and greater energy puts much greater pressure on that energy security question. But my own view is that the ultimate solution here is a mixture of innovation and government policy, because renewable energy remains one of the greatest sources of energy that are available to us onshore and offshore. And these days in particular, we talk about the ability to mobilize and scale solar energy, but also offshore wind, which I know has got current challenges. I believe what happened, and it goes to Anisha's point, where AI is here to stay, and we should recognize that as a reality. What I think is going to happen is that governments around the world are going to work with industry to help remove the barriers to scaling renewable energy. And a lot of these issues are around permitting and processing and grid investment. They're probably the two biggest issues that we have today in terms of renewable energy projects anywhere, but particularly in the context of AI. So I think governments are really going to go out of their way, because they have to have AI, as Anish said, that we have to find a way to bring the energy. And if we're serious about the climate agenda, we're going to have to figure out a way that we bring clean energy to the data centers. And importantly, the users of the data centers, in particular the hyperscalers, first and foremost, they need energy, but they recognize and have a strong preference, and they've been very explicit about this, that it'd be green energy. And if we're going to be serious about balancing the two agendas, that's why I believe that sort of government intervention is critical.
AI can enhance climate risk assessments, but it also consumes significant energy. How can executives balance AI's carbon footprint with its potential to drive decarbonisation and energy efficiency? Mike, can I come to you first?
It really goes back to what I think I've just been saying. The problem, I think, in reality, is that because executives can only do so much, this is where macroeconomic policy has a real impact on what we can do at an individual executive or a corporate level. We are constrained by the A, grid capacity, and B, the ability to actually scale renewable projects, which is why I think government policy will play a role. But I think it really depends on where you are across the corporate ladder. I think it is forcing companies to decide very carefully if they're investing in AI operations, where to host and where to build the new data centers in particular, because these executives recognize that the climate agenda is still here to stay. There's still incredible pressure, whether it's from investors and consumers. So the idea that we're going to, currently we're using a lot of natural gas to power data centers, I think that's going to come under increasing pressure. And we're seeing this in some countries. So I think that this is going to be, we're going to have to think about locations for AI factories and data centers, and that in turn will, I think, follow to some extent, not there's lots of other considerations, but it will follow energy policy, which is why I think that in turn will be the catalyst for government action.
Anish?
AI, as I said, can be applied everywhere. You touch anything, you will see that any corporate process, you will see that there is some application of AI. Do we need to do in everywhere? indiscriminately? No, because that's actually going to result in very, very confusing outcomes for the corporate. So the best way to do it is actually to have a proper plan for implementing AI so that you're not overdoing the thing. You have an organized approach to implementing AI, which means, and then some of our client CEOs have said that we should help them map the whole value chain and then see where the bang for the buck is the most for AI. So that's the first step, and we have done that. So we have consciously now in every segment of energy, natural resources, and chemicals where we operate, they map those value chains, seen the AI use cases, and then seen what to prioritize using a fairly rigorous framework. The second thing it's look at is how does this all hang together? So the technology architecture and the data architecture is very important, because if you don't do this right, then you can actually consume a lot of compute, a lot of memory, and a lot of energy. So how do you optimize that, make it a lean system which optimally delivers for your business applications is a very, very important question. So there has to be a certain amount of discipline in the way you approach AI. And the third thing is that while AI itself is energy consuming, a lot of these applications result in net reduction of energy use. For example, if I'm using agentic AI in today's work processes, a lot of the wastages which are there inherently get reduced. So the ROI and the payoff has to consider some of those reductions which we are going to see in other theaters, even if AI itself, the application, a specific application, is going to consume more than what we had because it's a new application. So I think that whole method, that discipline in all of this is very important. And as KPMG, we have evolved those structured approaches. We just brought out a publication called Intelligent Energy, where you can use the AI application, AI tools, much more intelligently than just indiscriminately throwing an AI at everything.
So, Mike, why do you believe AI can be an accelerator for the energy transition?
So this is a point of view I've been putting forward for some time. Nothing is definitive in life, but I look at the evidence, and we've already spoken with Anish about the need for AI. It's here to stay, the massive energy demand. Where will that energy demand come from? And I believe in the longer term, certainly, hopefully in the much quicker than that, that demand will be met by renewable energy. And the energy demand is so great that a couple of things are happening. Number one, we are seeing some of the newer energy transition technologies being deployed. We're seeing geothermal and biomethane in particular being employed in the context of data centers. And also, and we're aware of announcements from some of the hyperscalers, it has helped to accelerate the advent of nuclear as a solution, and particular small modular reactors. And these are very different, even from the SMRs of 5 and 10 years ago. They're much safer. Yes, they're expensive to build, but I think the demand is so great that it's helping to catalyze some of those new technologies. The other reason I'm so confident about the fact that this will help crystallize the energy transition, and I've seen this in practice, it's helping to accelerate new research and development. I'm seeing some wonderful technology starting to emerge, particularly around water and the ability to produce water from air, other types of cooling technologies, and figuring out new types of energy solutions for data centers. So I'm quite excited about what's going to come. Clearly, this is going to have to be backed up by government policy, as I said earlier.
Thanks, Mike. Anish, regulatory frameworks for climate and AI are evolving rapidly. How can executives use AI to stay ahead of compliance requirements while driving innovation in decarbonisation efforts?
So the first thing is that the regulatory requirements will evolve because AI uses lots of data sources where there are security concerns, there are privacy concerns, and so on. The corporates have to be abreast with what is the latest in regulation, which is imposed for right reasons, but could cause violation of those norms. So and the best way to do that is actually to use AI. So you can have AI-based tools which keep you on top of those compliance requirements and provide you what is the direction of travel which you need to have. The second thing is that AI also, the point I mentioned earlier, that it's important that we use AI efficiently. So not indiscriminately, not on any data source, but on more controlled data sources. So I think the important thing is to define the data sources which you're going to use and then ensure that, you know, they are within the red lines which are drawn out by regulation. The consequence will often be much more impactful. Sometimes it can be suboptimal because you don't have enough data, but I think those are the use cases you should park for later. And there'll be enough and more which you can do within the realms of regulation and within controlled data sets. And most corporates don't need to develop fundamental models in the foundational models. Those will be available from third parties. They need to use those models efficiently. And for them, for that, their internal data sources or external data sources on which they have the right to use should be adequate. So I think we'll get to the answer of this question over a period of time. But for most corporates, which are just users of AI, I think it's not terribly difficult to find ways to answer this as long as you know how to go about it. And as I mentioned at the beginning, using AI smartly for that purpose can be quite helpful.
And Anish, looking ahead, how do you see the convergence of AI and climate shaping the future of corporate leadership and stakeholder expectations?
See, the climate issue is here to stay. We'll deal with it. I don't know whether we'll be able to solve it or not, but at least we have to deal with it, be it mitigation or be it adaptation. Similarly, AI as a technology is here to stay. It'll evolve very, very quickly as you go along. But the basic genre of technology is here to stay. If you have two things which are all here to stay, you need to see that how do you harmonize the two and how do you keep them together in your corporate strategy. I think that's what boards and corporate leadership have to do, that they have to keep both of them as legs of their own corporate strategies, taking full cognizance of both aspects, while also realizing, as we were discussing previously in the conversation, that one leads into another. So AI can help you deal with some of the climate change challenges, which inevitably will come. So smart managements will actually see not only those two in isolation, but also in combination on seeing how we can solve for some of the challenges around climate change.
Thanks, Anish. Mike, for companies just beginning to explore AI's role in their climate strategies, should C-suite leaders take to align AI investments with long-term decarbonisation and energy goals?
It is really important that the C-suite really starts to understand the point I made at the outset of this podcast, which is the fundamental role that AI can play on a decarbonization strategy. On the climate agenda more generally, we're now seeing a big shift towards focusing on real action, particularly action that can produce value, because if we can produce value, that in turn is going to incentivize companies to take the type of interventions that are required to drive this climate agenda. So I really would urge C-suite executives to embrace AI as a fundamental part of the solution. The investments will very much be determined by the particular sector the industry is in. It'll be determined by the particular issues. But once you understand the power and the relevance of AI, I think this will become fundamental to any company addressing its climate and decarbonization goals going forward.
Anish, would you add anything to what Mike said?
So the first thing is to get comfortable with the technology. Okay, and not just the leadership, but actually across levels of the organization, because these are new technologies, sometimes evolving, but they're not terribly hard in the sense that many of the applications are on our phones, right? So, and we do use them in every day. You know, we use them in typical our maps and everything uses AI. So it's just in the corporate context, we just need to enable the organization to move forward with using AI. And as you go forward, then you need to bring in specific AI applications, which are accelerators, which actually allow you to do things very differently, very efficiently, and then sometimes transformatively as compared to what you would do that. At KPMG, we call that the embed stage, where you embed AI into the various facets, but maybe as individual applications. And then when you take it to the broader enterprise level beyond the functions and bring full enterprise transformation, that's an evolved state. Now, that requires very different skill sets, that requires architecting, that requires much more native AI skills for development in that organization. So you can do that, but that's a third stage. My own belief is that given the pervasiveness of AI, even if you start with enable, most large organizations will go quickly to embed, and many of them will go into an evolved state over a period of time. And that period of time is not too long. You know, it's maybe a couple of years. Not everybody will make it because somewhere, you can't develop all of that or have those skills and talent. But then there will be enough providers of services who will be evolved, who will provide, say, managed services for your organization to do that. So I think in some sense, either you build it yourself or you buy it or you use it as a service. All these organizations of the future will be using AI in different ways, starting with the enablement, then going into embedding the AI technologies and having then an evolved state either internally or taking services from other organizations which have evolved.
Mike and Anish, it sounds like many opportunities and challenges remain when it comes to the intersection of AI and broader climate goals. Thank you so much for covering this topic for our audience, and I'm sure it's a topic we will come back to. Join us again next time for more insights from ESG leaders and innovators. You can also find the latest KPMG insights covering a range of ESG topics by visiting kpmg.com/ESG. Thanks for listening.